So we're going to talk a little bit about how we held ourselves together during some of the worst times in our lives.
Oh, my.
Okay. And we don't have to bear it all. But listen, we're still here. So obviously we did something right. We had to learn a lot of lessons.
Oh.
To get a lot of scrapes, scratches, and bruises. But we still here.
Oh, Jesus.
We look good.
If they only knew, they could peel it back.
Peel it back and see
like, all, whoa.
Scar, all that scar tissue. All that scar tissue. It got us here. I mean, I'm happy. And
I'm glad to have been delivered from that and preserved through it. That makes me preserve through fun.
Yes, because it ain't easy.
Okay, I'm sorry. We talked about it already.
No, we talking. We talking because it ain't easy. I remember when we were little and we would be going to school and you would come and pick me up.
I sure did.
Yes. And we
would hang skip school sometimes.
Yes. Life was good. And we used to walk around thinking about how hard it was back then. And then our dumbasses went and grew up. And
we had it easy.
Yes.
It was that easy.
Yes, we went ahead and grew up. We got more hard-headed. Hard-headed being an adult, it just don't really work that well.
I was trying to keep up with the Zet your letters.
Yes, we wrote letters to each other. I still have some. Yep. I think I still have some.
And then we went for a long period where we didn't write.
Uh-huh. We did.
And I think it was because I came to New York.
Uh-huh.
And the person, I went to your house, uh-huh. And the person had told me you moved. They lied.
Really?
Yeah, because you lived on Leland.
Uh-huh. I did. My mom still lived there, though. But I did move, but then I moved back. So not unless you came around that time. But my mom stayed there.
Whoever was there said you moved. They ain't give me no, I mean, you know.
Wow. You see
so
that?
I think that's you? What. But then Facebook, you know, connect everybody back. Everybody.
Facebook is good for some things. I ain't gonna
reconnect
lie.
Reconnect back to what's going on. Yeah. Yeah, and by that time, you was a mom and all that.
I had kids. Early, I had my son when I was 15 years old.
And it's funny, Lizette, that you always think about that when I was that age. Because I was really mad with my mother when she moved us to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But she moved us to Virginia for that very reason.
To get you.
For that reason. Mm-hmm. She moved us for that reason. And I asked my mom because we was originally supposed to come back for my seventh grade year at 127. I was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved that summer. I stayed with my grandma. I went with my grandma every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And here she come with this truck. What?
She said, we out.
And you know, my mom was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Living in Bronx River.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said, I'm working summers, busting my butt. She said, I came home and somebody had peed in the elevator. She said, why am I stepping over piss when I got a house down south?
Yeah.
I'm done. Pack this up. Let's go. As an adult, makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I'm mad. But as an adult, it gave me a guide to follow.
Right.
We moved to Virginia. My stepfather was still with us. But my stepfather and my mother broke up very shortly after we moved. So now you go into a two-household home on one income with four kids and grandkids. Because my sister, you know, my older sister had already started having babies.
Uh-huh.
And everybody told her, give up your house. She said, no, I'm not giving up this house. Because where I'm going to go with all my whole family and still afford it.
Right.
Because, you know, rent keep going up, but they don't care. Each year, the rent going to be what I say is going to be.
Uh-huh.
And my mother, I think shoot, one time I think my mother was working 3 jobs. I ain't never seen my mother work.
Wow.
My life, and as a teenager, we barely saw her. Wow. And for that, I didn't want to give her no grief because my sister had already gave her enough grief with these babies. I said, well,
I'll fall back just a little bit.
I guess I'll just fall back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like there was a corner store, people hanging out anywhere. I'm in the burbs with nothing, do nothing, and nothing. Nothing.
But it was a good move. It really was a good move.
But I mean, at the time, I didn't like it. Don't get me wrong. I was upset.
Uh-huh.
In hindsight, I'm like, wow, Ma, you really did the best thing for your uh-huh. family. And it gave me a guise, even when I was in those difficult moments that I put myself.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
I did this to me.
She could only set the foundation. I mean, it's life. You have to make your own mistakes. You got to make your own moves, and they'll either work or they won't work. But regardless, they're a lesson.
I learned a lot of, but I did learn a lot of lessons the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
That I could have avoided if I was, but smart enough to not fall for some okie doke stuff. I was naive.
But you were young.
I didn't know. My mother ain't even tell me about 6. I ain't know nothing. I didn't know nothing. What is going on? I don't even know what's going on. What's going on right now?
Oh my God.
Nothing. I was like, Mom. And then I asked, I said, Mom, why you ain't ever tell us about that? She said, well, you wasn't having it, so it wasn't on any day.
Look how she kept you so pure.
No, nothing.
Oh my God.
I'm in a horrible, what is going on? I don't even know what's going on. What is going on here? What's going on?
See, and if you would have stayed in New York, you would have known too much. You would have known.
I said, what is this going to get better? I thought this was like something real nice. It's not right. It's just going to get better. My back hurt. It's too much.
You were traumatized.
I was traumatized. I was completely traumatized. Well, of course, you know, life things get better because I wasn't supposed to, but I was, you know. Let's go see.
Oh my gosh, that is funny. No, she wasn't gonna tell you about all of that. I don't even know how I learned about. No, you know what? My dad had a little suitcase, and he had a whole bunch of pornos in them. And me and Sharika, you remember Sharika?
I don't remember Sharika. Sharika Springer.
Yes. Now he had his pornos in there, and he also had money. So we used to break into the case. When he finally found out, he thought we were breaking into the case for the money. We never touched the money. We was just in there looking at the pornos.
He don't know that dollar miss.
Yeah. We didn't want the money. We just wanted to look at the pornos. Like, he had a bunch of money in a case, and we just looking at pornos.
We never did that. I can't remember. No, I don't think so.
No, but girl, me and Sharika got our butts whooped.
I'm sure y'all did. Who told you to be messing with my stuff? That's number one.
We got whooped. And then to make it worse, her mother had me crying. She was on the phone. She wasn't even in my face. And she had me crying just from being on the phone with her. And I was like, oh, yeah. My God. I just knew that Sharika was going to be killed. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to see
that's
her no
when
more.
You had real fear of your parents, for real.
Yes. I was like, I'm not going to see her no more. I was like, she's going to die. But yeah.
Come on, do it again.
And we sure didn't. We learned our lesson. We learned our lesson. Yep. We learned our lesson.
And there ain't no. Told me nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. I don't know nothing. What's going on? Why is that changing? What came out of that?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Did you just throw up on me? I'm confused.
But was it even worth it? I know my first time, I was like, the first time I did it, it was so disappointing. I didn't do it again for almost 2 years. And I started, remember I said I had my son when I was 15. So you see how early I started. Your mama got you out at a good time.
She got me right, she took me.
She got you out of there.
Because I done been, that's what I know. I would be right there with you. That's where we go. Yep. We'll be doing, let's go.
Yep. We would have
been. Let's go. I'm a kid. Let's go. Where we going?
Been, we would have been there. Yep. But she got you out. But it was so disappointing. I was like, wow, what was that? Like, why do people
like that?
Yeah. Like, this was a waste. First of all, and I told him, I was like, this was a waste of time. Why did I come here? And I didn't, it was a very big disappointment. It was definitely not like it looked in the pornos.
But at least you had a reference. I didn't know a thing. What is going on? I'm confused. Why did that get soft? What's going on?
Oh. Oh my God.
It's not like a bad hurt.
Yeah, it was definitely.
I told my girlfriend Vanessa, I said, is this going to get better? Because I don't know. I don't know about this.
Like, I don't think this is for me.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, keep doing that. This is something extra.
It's different now. I was disappointed. I was completely disappointed. I was like, I wasted my time. And I think even after that, I want to say that's when I started going to the library.
You're not supposed to be doing this at this age. That's why I don't feel good.
Yes. And I think that's when
I ain't got no business doing.
I started spending more time literally at the library. Like, I would have rather been reading books than being with anybody, because I was disappointed. I was like, this is just not right.
Yeah, but you were always smart.
I don't know I don't know what happened. I think that childhood phase, some stuff went down. I don't know. Maybe it was that New York
took
care.
What it did, but you always been very smart. You always were smart.
Thank you.
No, for real. I said that girl was smart. I just
did a lot of dumb
street
stuff.
Street smart too. You knew what's going on.
I'm a naive.
You could have told me whatever. Not a believer.
Your mama wasn't trying to let me contaminate you. She was like, nope.
I don't know if it was you or who.
It was all of us.
My sister had the baby and that was it. that was the end for everybody.
Your mother said, nope.
I was 10 years old when my sister had her baby. First baby. And I remember my mother Carol's pregnant, and when she left the room, I said to my sister, I said, I don't know what pregnant is, but I think it's bad. I don't know nothing.
Oh my God,
I may hear Tom and my sister contraction right the time. I'm just right. I have no idea what's going on. There's a baby gonna come. Oh, 5 minutes. Hey, new chick.
Oh my God.
And my sister come home with this baby. My sister seeing some boy upstairs live three floors above her. My mother go to sleep. She said, watch the baby. If Ma get up, ring the phone one time.
That one time, yes.
The phone ringing one time, hang up. I don't know. She going up there to do her boyfriend. I don't know. I'm the little sis. I just know I do what she tell me to do.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Girl, my sister's not even dumb. Just didn't know a damn thing. Ain't nobody tell me nothing. No, this is where babies come running out. Then my mother would just say, you better not get pregnant. I ain't know how you get pregnant. Dude, if he kiss you, you gonna get, I don't know. I have no idea. Oh. How that happened? How I'm gonna not do it if you don't tell me how to do it?
Oh my God.
So I just really kind of stayed away from, I mean, I kissed boys and stuff, but my middle sister, who's 2 years older than me, so when I was 18, she started dating a guy in our congregation. And she was really nervous. I remember she was going on this date. Mm-hmm. And she nervous. I said, well, what's the problem? What's wrong? She says, well, what if he tried to kiss me? Now, mind you, she's 19. I must have been 17. No, I had to be 18. She had to be 20. Mm-hmm. I said, what you mean if he tried to kiss you? And she looks at me and she says, you kissed a boy before? I looked at her and said, gosh. You never kissed, we were just in shock.
Oh my God.
You never kissed a boy before? You kissed a boy before? I'm like, I
kissed a boy. Wow.
My mother kept us completely sheltered. And you know we were Jehovah's Witnesses, so that was everything was out. No birthday, wow. No Christmas, no, you go sit down. That's what you gonna do. Damn, is what you gonna do. So, wow. You know, we were really very sheltered, and even more so when we went to Virginia. So what drew me to my abuser, mm-hmm. Number one, he wasn't abusive at first. Mm-hmm. But I was mad with my mother, and he knew it. And he said, you see, your mother don't care about you. She don't love you. She don't love it. He took advantage of my situation that I was having with my mother. Mm-hmm. And then I remember the first thing that I knew that this was abuse. You know how sometimes you don't know because it's mental manipulation, right? It's mm-hmm. just, it's little things that you say. So he was my first everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, I felt an obligation to make it work because he was my first. I was like, I'm not going to just let him do me and go.
Right.
You know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of situation. So I was like, oh, no, we going to be together. We mm-hmm. going to make this thing a thing, you mm-hmm. know. And he knew that I was upset with my mom. And so he kind of took advantage of the situation. And I remember the first time actual physical abuse was when one day we were in the car, I was driving and we were talking. And it was kind of like he was getting into a heated debate. And he bit me on my shoulder. I mean, hard.
Wow.
I had a huge
wow. I have one. I still got that mark.
Wow.
We was dating fucking cannibals.
My sister, it was summertime. I'm wearing these long sleeve shirts and stuff, trying to cover this bruise. And I was living with my sister. I was 18 years old. I was living with my sister because I was going to college. Mm. And he went to the same college as me. And my sister said, one day I just happened to have on short sleeves. So I forgot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She said, what happened to your arm? I said, oh, the other day I fell off the back porch.
Yep.
I lied to protect him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then as I moved out. I moved in with him. It was total control because I know you're not going home.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going home. You ain't going back over there. And he was more mentally abusive toward me, which a fat self. Ain't nobody going to want you.
Oh.
I had gained weight by it because I was small all the way up until right. college. Mm-hmm. Chicken mm-hmm. and waffles, girl. Chicken and waffles. We eating. I gained weight. Nobody going to want you.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. And I remember the first time he gave me a black eye. He beat me up. And I said, I stared in the mirror for hours just looking at it. And I said to myself, finally, my outside matches my inside. Because I was just hurting. I was so mad with my mother. I was so mad with everybody. I was mad at the world. I didn't care. I said, well, if he killed me, good. I don't want to be here no way. I didn't have the courage to do it myself because that just went against everything that I
that you never right.
You can't just kill yourself now. That you've gone too far with that. But I didn't care whether I lived or died. I didn't care if I slept in the car. I didn't care if I had a place to lay my head. I didn't care about what clothes I had on. I didn't care. It was a total hurt people type of situation mm-hmm. where I didn't care. And would always leave him and he would always come back and get me. I'd go back home when it got real bad and he would come and my mother would be so furious with me. She's like, why do you keep leaving and going back to that bum? He's a bum. He's a bum and you just keep going back. And she knew it was because I was mad with her.
Right.
And I thought, well, if I go with him, that's punishing you somehow. I'm the one gonna wake up with the black eye.
The black eye, yep.
My back hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You done bum rushed me like a football player
mm-hmm.
and tried to beat me up. And I remember the worst, I got pregnant. And I went to the clinic to find out. She said, you're 8 weeks pregnant. And I went home and I told him that I was pregnant. You know, he kicked me off the bed with his Timberland boot.
Oh, wow.
And I lost that baby.
Wow.
2 days later, I began to bleed. Hindsight's 2020. I'm so glad I didn't have a baby by that man. Because then I would have had to keep some type of
connection,
communication, mm-hmm. communication with him, and I didn't have to. And the thing he said to me that made the most impact that I remember today, because I asked him, I said, "Why is it that you always kind of get me? Because I'd leave, I would
mm-hmm.
leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough." But then he would come back and I'd feel sorry. This whole, you know, I'ma love him enough. My love is gonna be enough to change him, fix him, yeah. grow him, make him different. Because it was almost like bipolar, because he could be just as loving and sweet and kind and nice. But as loving as he was as evil as he was. And it would just flip. Just 1 minute you nice, and the next minute, where the evil come from?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that always resonates and stays with me, I asked him, I said, why do you always come back and get me? And he said, his response to me was, because you make the demons go away.
Wow.
That always stuck with me. But the crazy thing about all of that, when I left, the you know, when the straw that breaks uh-huh. the camel's back, when you just say enough,
uh-huh.
I had got a little job, little piece of job. I ain't making no money, but I was happy for this job to get uh-huh. out the house from him, away from, I'm going to keep this job. And I was working in the shoe store, and I have bought a pizza car, girl. When I say a pizza car, this car cost me $100. It was a 1976 Plymouth Valori.
Oh,
the car
old
as I am. The car had a hole. You could see the bottom. The seat wasn't even a seat. You had to put some pillow cushions there.
But it was
there.
Yours. But it was all
it
yours.
It was mine. This is my car.
It was yours.
You had to pour a little bit of gas in the car to get it. And don't pour too much because then you flood the engine and you ain't going nowhere.
Oh, my God.
This is my car now. It's my car. It's a hoopty. It don't even look like a car. I go to the club, park way down the street.
Because you don't want nobody.
We can't be seen in this car. This is the hoopty. Wait. It's my hoopty.
Oh, it's yours.
So we got into an argument again. The thousand, hundred, million argument about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he went outside, and I got in the car. I was going to leave. I'm leaving because mm-hmm. you're going to, you know, I know where it's going to go because it right. went there so many times.
Right.
And he broke my window. Punched it and broke the window, broke my windshield. I had enough. I said, you don't love me at all. You breaking up my stuff I work hard for? You don't love me. And I'm done. I've had enough. I don't need to go through this. I don't have to go through this. And I went to my sister's house. And, you know, my sister, she didn't care. She been wanting me to come home and get away from this fool.
Right.
So, for me, I knew then I wasn't going. I wasn't. I don't have to tolerate. I don't. I'm better than this. I didn't have all the pieces in play to be better. But I think for me, it was easy to leave because I didn't have children. I think if I would have had children, I would have felt an obligation to stay, to make it work. I said, we don't have nothing between us. We ain't even married. And as a matter of fact, we almost did have done.
Right.
I said, let's go get married. He said, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Girl, we go down to the Justice and Peace. We want to get married. We're filling out the paperwork. The clerk said, that'll be $50. I look at him. He looked at me. I ain't got rid of them. You got rid of them? We almost got married. $50. I said, God, you just been looking out for me my whole life. Because if I had that $50, we'd got married.
You would have gotten married.
Now, if you don't have $50, what is you doing?
But the crazy thing is that amid all of the things that you went through, because our situations are very similar, it took something like a hoopty for you to realize that
my friend was like, you wasn't mad when he broke your face.
You were worth so much more. Right.
When you was bleeding, you wasn't mad when he linebacker tackled you to the ground. You wasn't mad. You wasn't mad that you mad about the car? That old raggedy.
It took a hoopty for you to say enough is enough. And I think that is the sad state of a lot of females who find themselves in situations like that. They don't see how valuable they really are. They don't see their worth. They don't know how valuable their love is. And that's why they allow it to go on.
They don't know how to get out of it. I think because you be in it so long sometimes that you don't see the way of escape. Because I think about my sister. I think about my oldest sister, where her baby, the one that had babies early, he was a, didn't already think this, but I still gonna put myself through it. But what she said, the straw that broke her camel's back, was she would always call my mother crying and telling her how horrible and what he did and this, that, and the other. Now, we in Virginia, she in New York. My mother said, she called me one day late at night crying and carried. My mother said, I don't care if he punch you in your eye and your eyeball pop out your head and roll across the floor. Don't call me no more at this time of night because you ain't ready to do nothing about it. And my sister said that was, she realized if I don't get out of this situation with my baby, because by this time she had three. And I don't even have my mom to have my back. I got to get out of this.
And it's not that your mom didn't have her back. Your mom was right.
No, but she did. But she, listen, I can't keep enabling you.
Right.
Because I've offered, I sent money, I went up there, I did everything in my power to get you out of this situation. And yet you continue to put yourself in this situation. And I'm done. You need me, call me. But right now at 2 o'clock in the morning crying because he done beat you. And so my mom, in a way, the reverse psychology worked for my sister. Where if she had said that to me, I'm not sure that necessarily would have worked for
you
me.
You would have rebelled.
Because I was mad already at her. That wouldn't have worked for me. So I think even when it comes to being a parent, you have to figure out what works for your child in that situation. My mother was there for me. Whenever I went home, she would come get me. I remember I called. I was in North. My mother didn't even know where I was for 2 years.
Wow.
And he had kicked me so hard. Oh my God. Was that? I felt the breath leave my body. And I didn't know if I would be able to draw another.
Wow.
That's how bad it scared me. I said, you know what? I'm going home. And I called my mother. No, I called my sister and I said, can you come and get me? I'm in Norfolk. And her and my mother came and they picked me up. And I went back home. I was all bruised up, beat up, bad and all that. And he came right from Norfolk to get me and I left again. With him.
Wow.
And I don't know. I know for me, I left because I was mad with my mother. Anger shouldn't drive you to be that insecure in your life that you feel that your action is punishing someone else.
Right.
I know she was worried. Don't get me wrong. I know my mother was worried. And my mother said she hired a private detective, couldn't even find me for 2 years.
Wow.
Angry. Pride comes before the fall. My pride kept me from safety when I didn't have to. And I did love him. Don't get me wrong. I really did love him. But it wasn't the type of love that I was willing to sacrifice myself for after a while. There's no future. There's no hope here. There's no nothing. You don't really love me. You love what I bring to you. You don't love me. You love what I can bring to your situation. And he really was a mentally unstable person, for real. Like, he had his own problems that he was dealing with.
Right.
So for me, it was getting out of that situation, getting away from that situation. And it took me a very long time to get over him. It took me at least 2 years to get completely, like, when you don't think about the person daily, you're not worried about what they're doing or trying to figure out how we're going to get back together. That really took me a long time to heal myself from that. And I think for me, now that I'm older, that is my deal breaker. I said, you ever want this to be over? Hit me. It's going to be over. When we come back from that, there's some things we can come back from, but not that. Because we should be able to maintain a sense of self-control.
Control, yeah.
Even in anger. Even in times of, difficult conversations, we should be able to control one another, ourselves. And if we can't do that, then why are we even talking?
Yep. And I felt like that. When I was in my situation, I couldn't, and it got to a point where I didn't even like him. Like, for years, I didn't like him, but I wouldn't leave. I could leave physically, but I would always go back. And it was just because number one, I did have kids, but it was to a point where I kind of looked at him as one of my kids. I felt like I had to always take care of him.
Listen, if you want to talk about kids, that's my first marriage.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be, listen, now that I'm older, I ain't going to be with no man. That's my son.
Right.
I don't have the patience to tolerate. I can't raise you. Your mama should have did that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I always felt
again,
like
being young.
Right. I want to make sure you're okay. I felt bad.
What's your mama for?
Well, that was the thing. So that how he played on my emotions. He didn't have his mother. He grew up. He was adopted. So he didn't have all of that. So I couldn't understand how somebody can grow and not feel love from a parent, because I had both of my parents. So yeah. I kind of felt bad for that situation. And he would always say, oh, you're just going to leave me like my mother did. And of course, me rising to the occasion that I should have gracefully bowed out of, no, I'm not. I'm not like that. Let me show you. Yeah, let me show you. You could do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to still be here.
And he took advantage of that situation.
And you know what? Sometimes I want to say that just like I was young-minded, he was young. I can't make excuses for him, but...
Do you think he resented women because he didn't have his mother?
I think so. I definitely, definitely think so. I think that... his view, and you know, it's just weird because everything I tried to do to make a house a home was wrong. But someone else's wife or girlfriend or even their mother could do the exact same thing, and they were right. But it was like I was just that target. I guess I was that easy target. I was that stress reliever where he could just fight it out. And it was me, because I wasn't going to walk. I already made the statement that I'm not going to walk away from it. I'm going to be here for you. We're going to figure it out. Go ahead. You know? And
so what kept you there if you didn't like him? Like, you didn't love him?
I just felt, I felt sorry for him. So he had been through a lot. He had been shot. I don't know if you know, he had been shot. There was a lot of emotional turmoil that he was going through that he should have gotten counseling for that he didn't.
Yeah.
So I got that, and all of that, just from understanding all of that, made me feel sorry for him. And it made
me. So did you believe you were going to fix him? Did you believe that your love would fix him?
I think I got to the point where I didn't think any of that. I just felt like I was stuck.
Oh, see.
I felt stuck. I didn't feel like anything I could do was going to fix any part of it, but I was stuck. I was actually, and I was stuck living a lie, because I tried to make from the outward appearance, I tried to make everything aesthetically perfect. I didn't want outsiders to know how dysfunctional the inside was. So I was working so hard trying to make, trying to dress up the dysfunction, that it just became a regular routine for me.
Was anyone aware that this was going on at the time?
Yeah, people knew, but I don't know if they really knew the extent, because I wasn't, and I think what really, really made it kind of difficult to ascertain, a lot of people used to think that I was the one that was really being abusive, because I would fight back. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, we're going to really fight. We're going to really fight.
I can Tina up in her.
We did. And it was so weird, because people would see me reacting to how he came at me, and they would think that I was always the instigator, because I would never back down. Like if he took one step towards me, I was taking two steps towards him. And people will look at me like, why are you acting like that towards him? And that's how he got the most sympathy. Because in all honesty, it actually got to a point where at first my mom wasn't really feeling him or whatever. But then it got to a point where she started not feeling me because I was always so angry. And every time you see me, you know, if he could whisper something that they couldn't hear, and just by him whispering it, it would send me off into this frenzy. So they see me in a frenzy and they see him laid back.
Calm and collected.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was the problem. So I think for a long time, my mother would look at me like, why are you always starting with him? Or, you know, people would be like, wow, you know, your girl is crazy, you know, but they're not really hearing what he's saying. They're not seeing what he's doing.
Oh, no, they ain't there. You don't look here. Right. You don't know what's going on.
Right. But he, you know, and he would talk all nice and he was nice to everybody. I can remember being in the supermarket and I have the little basket and it's full. And I'm grabbing something. He ain't carrying nothing. He ain't carrying nothing. I'm carrying all this stuff. And this lady walks by and she dropped something and he picked it up and he gave it to her. So I dropped something and he looked at it and he looked at me and he kept walking. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
I was like, wow. So it doesn't matter. It really didn't matter what I did or what was going on. He was going to treat me the way I allowed him to treat me. And, you know, I was the man in the house. I didn't know what it was like to be a woman. I didn't know what it was to wear a dress. Cause I was the man. I was the man and the woman in this so-called relationship, in this situationship.
Mm.
And he was just chillaxing. He was chill.
So what was the straw?
I was done with the whole situation for years. I was done. But as the kids got older, I started feeling bad because the violence in the house wasn't getting better. Because the more I stopped caring, the worse the violence got. Because it used to, in the beginning, I would care and I would step back and, you know, I would shut up sometimes. I wasn't shutting up. I wasn't stepping back. Like,
it's a fight. I'm ready.
I'm ready
at 24/7. Come on.
It was always a fight. And it didn't matter what was nearby. I was picking it up. I was hit. Like, it was, I don't know how big that TV was. It was like the size of the wall. And I literally took the TV and, like, grabbed it and pulled it off the wall, trying to throw it on him.
Wow. Like,
it was always World War 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in my house.
Yeah, whatever works. Whatever works right now, I'm going to do it.
And when I came home, I think the kids used to get, they were so traumatized because to have us both in the house together, they wouldn't know.
What's going to happen? I'm walking on eggshell because I don't know if in a moment anything can come flying past my head.
Yes.
I live in a war zone.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was a war zone. And I had to make my decision that, you know, there was no love there. He wasn't sustaining anything, you know, any part of my life. He wasn't sustaining it. The only thing he was the kid's father, and they loved him to death.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be responsible for him not being a part of their lives. But then it just got to the point when I moved to North Carolina, he wasn't going to come with me.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to come. He said
I read
he wasn't
that
coming.
In the book.
He said he wasn't coming. So, and I was good with that. When I came down here and I found peace, I was like, oh, this is great. So I was like, yep, I'm going to go get my kids. Nice. I went up there. They didn't even know I was coming. I got up. I didn't even take a change of clothes. I went up there. I stayed up there long enough for him to get his stuff. Because when I got there, he had already decided that he was going to come. And I think he thought that I wasn't going to come down here and like it and stay.
Of course.
I think he was banking on me saying, oh, nope, I miss it. I'm coming back. I didn't miss anything.
Mm-mm.
I didn't miss anything. And I'm like, when he came down.
But it makes it easier when you get that peace. Because when you get a little peace in your life, you be like, I can't go back.
Yeah, and that's what happened. That's what happened.
I don't want to go back over there. That's I got exactly my little peace and quiet on my space, And I will not go back to chaos. I can't do it.
That's exactly what happened. When I came, when we got on the ride down here, I knew it was a mistake. But he had made all, you know, oh, it's going to be like this. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. And on the ride down, I knew it was a mistake. And for a few months, it was okay. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's trying. And maybe he did. I'm not going to knock his efforts. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Maybe he did the best that he could. But when things started to shift, I was like, no. Mm. Now, and my biggest thing with him is that he's so friendly. So he could just meet somebody and all of a sudden, you know, I have strangers in my house. And I'm like, no.
No. I like my peace.
I like my peace. And we have girls. Why are you having all these people come in the house and we have daughters? Like, I don't.
Yeah. And I don't even know these folks because I ain't been here that long to know them like that.
Can I tell you? And there was this one dude, like that. He came by and he had a freaking ankle monitor. And I was like, I was like, what?
Why? You're not from around the way, the block. I know what happened.
Yeah, like, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know the situation. I don't know why you got that on your ankle. Why are you in my house? And why are you telling him? I guess he had kids. His kids didn't live with him, but you're going to say, oh, if your daughter wants to ride my daughter's bike, she could come and get it. No, she can't.
She can be at your home.
Yeah, she don't need to knock at your door. She don't need to be nowhere near you. And I think that was one of the things when I started seeing all of these things start to happen, I was like, yeah, he got to go. I had started planning. I couldn't figure out I couldn't figure out how. And when I moved, let me tell you something. When I moved, I took a severe pay cut. I didn't even know how.
Oh, I know. Oh, girl, you ain't got to tell me. I'm like, no, New York, New Jersey. I mean, New York, Carolina.
I didn't know how I was going to pay a single bill. I didn't know how I was going to pay a single bill.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do this.
I didn't know, but I was like, you know what? We'll be eating a lot of bread because that's all I could afford. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to pay for him to go back to New York. And essentially, I did do that, but it didn't happen the way I planned it, but it still worked out.
These are the greatest stories.
This girl, and when he said he had to go, he was like, I got to go. Because I got to take care of business. I'm like, you ain't got near a job. Yeah. So I don't know what business you got to take care of. But you know what?
Great.
Go do your thing. Do your thing.
Go take care of your business.
Go visit all your friends and family. And when he left out, I knew he was not coming back. I knew it.
Thank you.
I felt so much relief. And I was like, he was about to walk.
Did you buy his ticket?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
Those are the greatest ones when you got the ticket.
It was one way. And you know what was so funny?
And then they'd be like, where's the return ticket? Oh, I don't know about that.
And I put him on it. He got on the Chinese bus. Have you ever taken
it? Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
Oh, my God. He was mad. He called. He was ticked off because the bus, I think it broke down. I think they were in the middle of nowhere.
I don't care.
I really.
Goodbye.
And I told him while he was on the bus that he couldn't come back. And from that point on, I was the most evil person. He went
to
New York, and our old neighbors, when I went up to take the kids to see him, he had been telling them things about me that they would never know because I didn't keep in touch with them. But when I saw them, they knew all of this stuff. And I'm like, wow.
Like, wow.
I didn't know men could be bitches
petty
like that. Yeah, no, but he was a bitch. It was a bitch move.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? It was a long time coming, and it took. I wish I wasn't so naive in the beginning because I feel like I lost out on a lot of experiences because I didn't want to leave no man left behind.
I got
but
you.
That man should have been left behind, and he's probably a great person to whoever he's with. I don't know. I don't know what his story. I don't care. What's important?
Yeah, when you don't care.
I really don't care. I wish you well.
Yep, I really do. For my children's sake, I wish you the best. Please don't die.
But I don't need to be dealing
with these tears and upset. So please live and live abundantly. Just not over here.
Yep. I don't care. I'm good. You know,
I did the same thing to my first husband.
Bought a ticket.
So, no, well, I'm going to tell you. So, we broke up because, you know, I told you he liked to pay for his enjoyment and pleasure. I said, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. That's another deal breaker. I can't do it. I like living and I like living clean. I can't do it. So, Kiera had to be about a year old, if that. Mm-hmm. So I left and I moved back in with my mother. And he kept the apartment that we had. So mind you, the apartment was in my name. So he calls me one day and says to me, I don't have the rent money. I said, well, I know you don't think I'm fixing to pay the rent and you living up in there and I'm not. So he's, and then I kept calling him. I said, are you going to have that rent money? You know, you need to figure, you need to do something. Uh-huh. Figure that out, but you're going to have this rent money. So he called me, boo-hoo crying. He don't have the rent money. So I went over there. I shouldn't laugh because this is so mean. I went over there. I start cleaning up, girl. I'm cleaning and taking stuff. I got boxes. He said, what you doing? I said, you told me you don't have the rent money, right? Do you have the rent money? No, I don't have the. I said, well, I called the apartment people and told them I was bringing this key back on Sunday. Now, this was Friday evening. I'm bringing this key back on Sunday. I said, my family be here tomorrow to finish, help me finish packing, and they don't like you now, so I advise you don't be here. Girl, the waterworks, tears. I mean, man, I ain't never seen a man cry. Where I'm going to stay? I said, I don't know where you're
going. I don't care where you
stay. Stay with your brothers. Is that all? Would you? He cried. He done packed up his little possession. I said, you need to get your stuff out. You need to go. Girl, when he left, I locked that door. I paid that rent. I went back to my mom's house. I was living at my mother's house and still had my apartment. But to the lease, you know, because sometimes you can't get out the lease. Uh-huh. The lease was up.
Wow.
Goodbye. Go then rent. I don't know what you're going to do. Go figure that out. But you ain't going to be up in here.
Like, I don't care. Like, you just stopped caring.
That was a dirty trick you that pulled on me. One. Okay, well.
No, that was a good one. That was brilliant.
And then as I was cleaning up the apartment, you know, I'm cleaning and I found the paper that the doctor actually told him, because he told me that he had a urinary tract infection and that the doctor said I needed to go to the doctor. Now, I ain't dumb. I was uh-huh. dumb. I ain't dumb now. Uh-huh. Urinary tract infections ain't contagious.
Exactly.
It ain't contagious. What, so why I got to go to the doctor? Girl, the paper, biggest thing,
trick.
That's what you get.
He tricking and he got tricked. Yep.
Here's the thing, practice safe sex, right on the paper. But you told me you had a urinary tract infection. I got the paper right here. Liar and a cheat. And you got to go.
Wow.
And I think because I had already done it, it was easier to do this, even though, no, I shouldn't say that. I had my daughter. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that I was the most angry about. I said, why did we have this baby if we wasn't going to, mm-hmm. if we not going to be together, why did we have this child together if you couldn't keep your vow, you couldn't, mm-hmm. you know. And I would hear him on the chat line. I was taping him. Girl, I was a girl. His family used to call me Magnum P.I. Oh, I'm going to find out what I want to know.
Why do we have
to go through those
things? Why do we put ourselves through? Why do women put themselves through this? And it's not just women. There are some men who go through these things, too.
I think.
But
initially, it's just love. You love this person. You want to. You just want to make it right. I think that's, you're optimistically hopeful that this situation is going to work. And the difference between my first husband and the abuser, my first husband was fine, sexy as good, I mean, and good to me besides mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. He didn't beat me. He wasn't abusive to me. He was very loving, kind, took care of me. He just wanted a lifestyle he couldn't, you can't have. Right. You want a wife and a mistress. Mm-hmm. You want a wife and your adult entertainment. You can't, now. I'm not that chick. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be some chicks that can deal with a side chick and all that kind of stuff and more power to you. I am not that person. That I have to compete for your attention, your affection, your money. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be by myself. Well, I can be by myself. One or two still work.
Yep. I agree.
I don't have to put myself through this grief. So for me, it was easier to go, but hard because I had a child. So I understand it would be even more difficult if you were in an abusive relationship, especially if you're financially dependent mm-hmm. on that person. For me, I wasn't financially dependent mm-hmm. on my first husband. Whatever he brought was extra to the table.
Right.
So I could cut that tie and still be okay.
And still be up.
And I think for me, watching my mother struggle and work so hard, it just gave me an extra sense of I could do this by myself. Mm-hmm. All it. Mm-hmm. Or go find my peace in something small. I mean, mm-hmm. that I'm just that real with it.
Right.
It don't have to be all this. I could, in my space, my little spot, mm-hmm. as long as there's peace and quiet and love and all that in there, I'm fine. But I think as women, we just feel either we're devalued. We devalue ourselves.
Yeah.
We think that this is all we deserve sometimes because of things we've done, or we feel that, if I'm going to change it, my behavior yeah. is going to change this person mm-hmm. to a better person, where this person already have their baggage or whatever it is that they're going through, and either they're going to do right or they're not.
Right.
You know, that's why I told my husband, if you want it to be over, hit me. Yeah. I'm done. I can't. There's certain things I'm not going to do. You want it to be done? Go pay for some. I'm done. Because I'm not that. I can't be something that I'm not. So right. that's what you enjoy and that's what you like. And that's never going to be me. So why? I'm not going to pretend myself into a position that isn't even reality. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of women, for various family reason, family pressure, you know, he's a good man, or he got money, or he gonna take care of you and them kids. You just shut up and be, you know, a good girl. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you just seeing a piece of it from your angle. You're not right. seeing behind the scenes how he bit me and kicked me and punch me in my face and call me names and say, you fat and you ugly and nobody gonna want you. And, you know, all of these ugly things. They don't see that side of that. So it's easy for them to say, you know, walk away, walk out. I never advise women who are in an abusive relationship in this stage to just get up and leave because of the danger. So many women have been murdered. Mm-hmm. For saying
that they're gonna
they
leave.
Are going to leave. They ain't even left yet. Mm-hmm. So you have to realize what animal, what beast you're dealing with first. What are we, are we dealing with just someone who can't control themselves, or with somebody who have no sense of self, who don't care? If you're dealing with a man, he don't care if he live, die, jail. He ain't scared right. of nothing. He definitely don't care about where you end up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for me, it's like, well, what are we dealing with? What type of person are we really dealing with to make sure that the woman is safe, the children are safe, you're safe, because you could get in the middle of something.
Uh-huh. It's hard
to help somebody else and you did.
Yep.
Because this crazy person can't control themselves.
It's so hard.
For me, it's about advising, listening, advising, praying, thinking of a plan, and making sure that that person can execute it.
All right, so we are good. It has been a pleasure.
All right.
We talked, we had a good discussion about the things that nearly broke us, but we made it through. And hopefully all of our future conversations will include, they'll be fun, but they'll also include some empowering moments to women who have gone through or who are going through situations that are breaking them, but we just need them to know that they are stronger than their weaknesses.
Yeah.
So I do look forward to having these conversations, and I thank you, Natira, for joining me today.
You're welcome. You're welcome.